Psalm chapter 119, verse 81 to 88. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail, looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pitfalls for me, contrary to your law. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for men persecute me without cause. They almost wiped me from the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. Preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth. They say that living is tiring. Even children sometimes say that it is tiring to go to kindergarten or preschool. Primary school students, middle school students, high school students all have their reasons to be tired. Students struggle to prepare for college entrance exams, but tiring life does not end once you enter college. There are more things you have to do by yourself. That tiring life does not end with college. College graduates live a tiring life as they study further in graduate schools, or go abroad for language programs, or build up various experiences in order to get accepted in good companies for employment. But once you start working, work life is not as easy as expected. Stress builds up as you have to take care of so many tasks. In those moments, you think, is this what I worked so hard for? Moreover, once you get married, you think that life was better when you had only you yourself to take care of. Now, you have to take care of your children, your parents, and more people that need your care surround you. What do you feel when you look back at your youth or primary school, middle school, or high school memories? We had all said, why is it so hard back then? But now, it feels like those periods were better. Wouldn't it also mean that if we compare past hard times to that of today, those hardships were not so heavy? Not only in our personal lives, but if our workplace or the entire country is in hardship, then our lives become even more difficult. Or if a natural disaster such as COVID-19 occurs, our lives become further tiresome. We try to comfort ourselves, thinking this too will also pass. Yet this pandemic has not passed away. We are exhausted as we cannot see the end of this tunnel. As in Ecclesiastes, all things are wearisome, more than one can say. There really is no easy thing in life. Over a year has passed since COVID-19 was first discovered. Vaccination has been developed, and experts debate over when the vaccination will be supplied across the country and people, and when the economy will be back on track. But no one knows for sure when the exact date or time will be. We have hope, but the prolonging reality is starting to crush these hopes, and instead, sighing is growing. But aren't things that make our lives wearisome not limited to COVID-19 and the changing environment due to it. Even though it may seem weak in influence right now, compared to COVID-19, other tiresome issues such as economical difficulties and conflict between people, illness and more still prevail. We still live carrying those burdens. If the moment of life or death prevail for so long rather than speeding away, how wearisome would it be? At those moments, we often pray, God, when will you save me? When will you end this COVID-19? Such longing for the day of salvation is what the author of Psalms 119 is describing. Verse 81-82. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? The original meaning of faint means to end or to be exhausted. The author is at a point of exhaustion from waiting for his soul's salvation from God. The candle of life is at a point of exhaustion. He is eagerly waiting for God's salvation. His reality is so difficult that he is finding it hard to breathe. In the phrase, when will you comfort me? Comfort means to sigh. He wishes to be relieved from current hardship and be able to give a sigh of relief. We can find out the exhausted state of the poet from verse 83-84. Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The poet has become like a wineskin in the smoke. In ancient Israel, when fire was lit in homes, even if there was a chimney, part of the smoke from the fire in the fireplace would ascend on the wall. I am not sure how many of these types of houses still exist in Korea, but I am sure that some of you will remember the soot stains on the wall and the furnace when fire was lit in the fireplace. In the time when the poet is writing, the smoke from the fireplace would ascend up the wall and stain the wineskin that was hanging on the wall, drying it and damaging it. The wineskin would become like smoked fish or meat. As washing line and pegs decay under the sun, wineskin that was exposed to smoke for a long period of time would decay and be too damaged for use. The poet asks God how long his smoke-exposed wineskin life will last. How long will your servant wait? The poet illustrates how desperate his situation is through verse 85-87. Verse 85. The arrogant dig pitfalls for me, contrary to your law. Arrogant people who do not abide by God's laws have dug a pit in order to harm the poet who is following God's words. Pits or holes are originally traps to capture animals, but it was also used to confine people. And the pits in today's passage are plural. It means that the arrogant people dug up not only one pit, but many, in order to inflict pain to the poet. Prophet Jeremiah also cried out to God when he was thrown into the pit that his opponents. Prophet Jeremiah also cried out to God when he was in the same difficult situation as the poet. They have dug a pit to capture me. The difference between the two people is that Prophet Jeremiah was thrown into the pit that his opponents actually built, but the poet has not been thrown into it yet. We cannot know if the pit mentioned in this passage is actually a pit or a metaphor of his suffering, but one thing for sure, the arrogant opponents are fervently trying to harm the poet as they have dug up pits in various places as they would capture an animal. So the poet considers himself as a wineskin under the smoke and is wondering how many days are left from his life. The verse 86 illustrates in detail what kind of actions the arrogant people performed. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for men could persecute me without cause. The arrogant people persecuted the poet without cause. The Hebrew for without cause is equal to the word without cause in verse 78, meaning falsely. So to persecute without cause is to persecute falsely. The arrogant wronging me, the poet, without cause in verse 78 is the same as men persecute me without cause in verse 86. Would the arrogant ones harm a good person with reason? They have no reason, so they make up lies to hurt the good person. We can tell how desperate the poet is in verse 87. They almost wiped me from the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. The poet is saying that the arrogant has nearly wiped him from the earth. The poet's life is in danger to the point of disappearance, like a candle in the wind. The original word for wiped is the same word as the translated word faint and fail in verse 81 and 82. Let us read once more verse 81, 82. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail looking for your promise, and I say, when will you comfort me? When will the poet be able to give a sigh of relief? That will be when God saves him. The poet is waiting anxiously for God's salvation. Because the poet is waiting for God's words, he is tired. Luke chapter 2 introduces two people who are waiting for Jesus' birth. One of them is Simeon, who was a righteous and devout man. The Holy Spirit was with Simeon. Simeon took him in his arms and took Jesus Christ in his arms and praised God. And in his praise, he confessed as such: "For my eyes have seen your salvation." That Simeon saw Lord's salvation is equivalent to have seen Jesus Christ, the Savior. As Simeon saw God the Savior, what the poet ardently desires is to see God in words. Due to this ardent desire, the poet is wearisome. "Lord, when will I be able to see your presence in words and breathe a sigh of relief?" How about you, dear members of congregation? Are you not tired from waiting for God's salvation? You wish to breathe a sigh of relief right now, but still only giving out a sigh of worry instead? Just like Simeon and the poet, do you not hope to see God's salvation as soon as possible? More in this situation than ever, we need to have longing for God's words. We need to be able to give the confession that the poet wrote, that "I have put hope in your word. I do not forget your decrees. All your commands are trustworthy. I have not forsaken your precepts." When David was on the run from King Saul, how tiresome would he have been to have eaten the bread of presence from the holy sanctuary? If we are on the run from a person or a situation and tired, we have to remember God's words that give strength to those who are wearisome and tired. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 to 30. "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." God gives strength to those who are weary and to those that continue to hope. He does not let them get weary or exhausted. Who can deny this? I'm sure nobody will deny this fact openly, but the passage in Isaiah right before the one we just read shows evidence that God can give this strength to us. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." God created up to the ends of the earth, but he does not grow weary. This is why he can give strength to those who are weary. Then, how can God make those who are tired no longer tired? It is by being with those who are weary. If the never weary God is with weary me, then my tiredness disappears and turns simultaneously into salvation. What is salvation? Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This is salvation. Salvation is the Lord standing with me, who is weary and burdened. How will the Lord be with me? He is with me through words. God interacts with me and stands by me through the words in the Bible. Interaction, in more frequent words, would be to communicate. On February 7th, 2020, in the program DocuWorld, broadcasted on KBS One TV, there was an episode called The Intercontinental Journey of the Diesel Gypsy. The protagonist was born in Korea in 1972 and immigrated all alone in November 2006 to Canada. He worked as a truck driver between Canada and the United States for 14 years from January 2007. The truck drivers that deliver across borders are often called triangular instead of a trucker. The reason for this name is that the drivers would depart from East or West Canada, head to mid-south of the United States, and come back to the original point, passing through East or West Canada. As this route resembles a triangle, they were called as such. The protagonist mostly carried a frozen trailer for food delivery. One intercontinental route would take on average 14 days, and the distance covered is around 11,000 to 12,000 kilometers. The distance between Seoul and Busan through the highway is around 400 kilometers, which means that the triangular route is a 15-round trip of Seoul and Busan. The length around the Earth is 40,000 kilometers. So if the protagonist does 2 months of this route, then he will be covering the length of this of the Earth once. He drives around 25,000 kilometers per year. The days he spends at home are at longest 5 to 6 days per month. He spends most of his time inside his truck. He eats in the truck too. When he leaves home, he packs rice and side dishes, food, and puts them inside the fridge of his truck. He sleeps in the bed in his truck. At times, he stops at designated truck stops and eats and takes a shower. He explains what he feels when he is driving the truck, and I could sympathize with him. He said, "When I drive the highway, which stretches out in a straight line but never ends, I feel like it's similar to how our lives are set out. Only God knows when that road that we run ends." There was another thing that the protagonist said that I sympathized with. It was communication. He said that sometimes when he drives through the continent, the round trip of 2 weeks feel like 3 weeks instead. Wouldn't you think so? So in order to relieve the boredom, he spent time watching TV programs or movies that he brought from Korea. Then in 2018, he came across a video sharing platform, YouTube. Thinking that he could share his daily life as a truck driver to those working in the similar industry in homeland, and to also share the spectacular view of the American continent that is so unlike that of Korea, he started his own YouTube channel. He installed a camera on his truck and recorded highway driving and the passing views. After his driving for the day was over, he edited the recording in his truck and published it online. Recently, his subscribers are over 100,000. Audiences would leave comments, and as the protagonist replied to the comments and communicated with them, his driving hours were no longer boring, and it has become instead a joy. Aren't our lives the same? We drive on a highway with no end, and when life becomes weary, as it is in recent days, a day feels like a week or a month. But if we cannot avoid this road and we have to somehow go forward, then shouldn't we go in joy and happiness? The way to do this is to communicate with someone. We need someone who will make us forget the boredom and weariness. Who would that be? If we communicate with God, then our lives, which look like a highway with no end, will no longer be wearisome. The more it becomes tiresome, we need to try harder to communicate with God. Communication with God, like sending out replies on YouTube, is by reading and writing God's words and to pray, reflecting upon what had been read. This year, I hope that our church continues to be in spirit and in truth by living the life of serving God, life of communication with God, by reading and writing His words. If we communicate with God through His words, then we can live through whatever kind of burdensome situation we may now be in. Nowadays, we are on the highway of COVID-19 that does not seem to end. We hope to move past this land. We are tired to the point of exhaustion, waiting for salvation. But what is our strength to overcome this hardship? It is God's words. We have to long for God's words, even though we may be tired from waiting for His salvation. The arrogant ones may have dug a pit to cause harm, and when we may be like a wineskin in the smoke, but we have to have faith in the trustworthiness of God's words. Even when the environment and people have made me extinct, we should not throw away God's words. At these moments, we need to be able to pray like the poet. The first part of verse 88. Preserve my life according to your love. This is when we should pray that God preserve our life according to His love. We have already received salvation and eternal life from sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. Then, what should we be afraid of physically dying on this earth? Are we afraid of being penniless due to financial difficulties on this earth? What fear would we have even though our bodies fail miserably? Didn't our Lord, the God of all the earth, enter Jerusalem on the back of a young donkey on his way to save us? We may become penniless and face moments of death, but it can never be fearful. Thus, we should, for salvation, to communicate with God through His words, rather than salvation in real life matters. Like the poet, in whatever circumstances we may be in, we should hope for God's words, keep to it, and not forget it, nor should we discard it. Let us read the entire verse 88. Preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth. This verse is not a conditional confession, where the poet professes that he will keep to God's words only if God saves him. God's words in itself is the poet's life, and the reason for his existence, that he professes that he will keep to God's words whether he lives or dies. We will one day eventually face physical death. Surrounding circumstances such as arrogant people, COVID-19, destitution may all make me like the wineskin under the smoke and destroy me. But there is no reason to fear it. Rather, we should fear that life of word where we can communicate with God may disappear. The triangular I mentioned before, who transfers this across the borders, gave happiness to many. 8 months after his life story was broadcasted in the documentary, he died of acute myocardial infarction. He was 48 years old. The view of the North America and the entertaining talk gave happiness to his 100,000 viewers, but it no longer exists in the world. Like the deceased, we will also one day leave this world suddenly. While we breathe on this earth, we have to walk or run the highway just as a driver drives onwards the lifelike road, whether it runs across COVID-19, and only God knows when or where it ends. We have to hope for words of salvation, not forget the words of salvation, and not discard words of salvation on that road. I hope and ask that the weariness of life be transformed, not limited to salvation of real life matters, but to salvation of communication with the Lord as we keep the words of salvation. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you have blessed our souls with the ability to hope for your salvation. Living on this earth is wearisome, and the events of the world tire us out. Yet, let us look towards salvation of communication. The reason that COVID-19 is rampant on this earth and threatening our livelihood is ultimately because of our mistakes and sins. Please forgive us and have mercy on us. God, after you created the world, you said that what you saw was good, and you created humans according to your image. Yet, forgive us, for we have not given you full appreciation and offering. Let us be revived through your grace. Let the sigh of sorrow become a sigh of relief. Even though we may be in a situation like the wineskin under the smoke and facing pits that arrogant ones have digged to capture us, let us not lose hope for our world, for your word. Keep faith in your trustworthiness, not forgetting nor discarding your word. In Holy Spirit, let us live the life that communicates with you and worship you, so that we may be able to show you that we are truly a rightfully worshiping believer of faith. Please allow us to live, communicating with you every day through your words and enjoying your given salvation on this road of life where we do not know when our breath will end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.